Good afternoon, guys. Welcome to the Winner Circle, brought to you by Grande Sports Training, where we interview professional soccer players and dive deep into their mindsets. Today's special guest is Pierre da Silva from Miami FC. Pierre, how are you doing today, my man?
So, Miggy, thank you for having me here. It's a pleasure.
So, Pierre and I met actually, I want to say 2 years ago when you first came to Miami through a really good mutual friend. Julian Myers, huge shout out to him. And I feel like, hey, right off the bat, man, we connected really well, man.
Yeah, of course, because we're proving too,
Peruvian, we're both Leos, both lefties. So I just feel like there was just that, that genuine connection with you, my man. It was a really good introduction from Julian's side. And ever since you've been here in Miami, I think you've done fantastic. How's life treating you in Miami since you first got here? I know you're from New York originally, right?
I'm from New York. I mean, it's been well. The heat is too much for me, but it's going.
That's good, man. All right, so Pierre, so I call this podcast the Winner Circle because I truly believe that athletes have a certain mindset that they have to reach in order to continuously improve every single day. So right off the bat, the first question I always ask everybody is, what is your definition of being a winner?
I mean, I'll say the definition of being the winner is that person to that dedicates themselves every day to the max,
What point in your life can you remember dedicating yourself to that like max potential?
What do you mean, Matt? Like that max potential?
Like when did you realize that your definition of being a winner was something that you were doing in your own life? Like at a kid age, like you always wanted to just be the best player, like at 12 years old, when you got to a teenage
I mean,
years.
I've always wanted to be a professional athlete, a professional soccer player since I'll say 4 years old, 5 years old. I've always wanted to, I always kicked the ball around, not giving up is being a winner, I feel too, that mentality of being a winner, like not giving up and like struggling to make it to the top. Like those are the people that I call like winners,
And where do you think that came from? Would you say watching your parents, watching, your friends, or is just something that naturally came to you as you grew up?
I mean, we all grow up with like ups and downs, and yeah, like I can say I got that from like my dad and my family side.
So just take us back a little bit into how your story starts, man. So you started kicking a ball at 4 years old, born and raised in New York, yeah?
Mom Peruvian, dad Brazilian.
Okay, so in that household, it was always football, Tolia.
All the time, even until now, like my dad's always watching soccer every day.
What is your earliest memory of watching football? How old do you think you were, and what teams were playing? What team were you constantly watching?
I remember clearly the 2002 World Cup. So,
Korea, Japan.
yeah, Brazil won. I remember that World Cup clearly.
That's when Ronaldo had
Had the yeah the bald cut with the little
I remember. No,
yeah.
I remember that World
And I
Cup too. It
remember my
was
dad used
great.
to have the VCRs for those games, and I used to like watch them like after school, like every day, so I remembered that World Cup clearly.
And then when did you start playing like for a team? Let's say competitively, what age were you? How old?
So like for a pro team.
No, just recreational, competitive.
So I mean, I started playing for Porchester Soccer Club from 5 to 8, and then when I was 9 years old, I went to Brazil and I played for Santos FC Academy from U11 to U15.
Okay. And how come you made that jump from Portchester to Santos? Was it something that your dad decided to take you, your family, or how did that come about?
We were in touch with like this Brazilian agent at the time. We don't talk to him no more, but he got me to get a trial at Santos, and I went to for the trial. It was a week trial, and they told me I made it. So I ended up staying. Me, my mom, my sister ended up moving. Me, my mom, my sister, and my grandma ended up moving to Brazil, and my dad stayed in New York to like help us like pay the bills in Brazil, because we needed one to stay like supporting us, you know, like because I wasn't making money at the time for Santos because I was too young.
Of course. What would you say was the biggest like challenge back then at that age, right? Like you're going from Portchester, New York is all you know, and then all of a sudden you're going to Santos. Did you realize how big of a club that was at that age? Or
Yeah,
were you just going to
yes,
play?
at the time, yeah, because I mean, Pelé played for that team, you know, so I knew how big that club was. It still is. But what was hard, the hardest part for me was just leaving my family and friends back in the US at that age, at nine, you know, 9, 10 years old. It was tough, especially my dad, like leaving him back, you know, seeing him every day to not seeing him, like only seeing him like 2 weeks out of the year every year was like tough.
Yeah. No, I can only imagine. You're 9, 10 years old, and you're already faced with not seeing your family or friends or what you're used to at so consistently, right? But I feel like that's something that a lot of people may experience, but maybe later down the road, maybe when they're older and they move out of their hometown at teenage years, maybe they move out to a new town, go to college, whatever. But you're experiencing this at 9, 10 years old. How did you deal with it? If you can remember, if you look back at 9-year-old Pierre, like were there things that you told yourself, or did you just distract yourself with playing football?
All I remember was just playing football and going to school, to be honest, and like and just me and my sister and my grandma. That's all I really remember, like going. And I remember like it was like a normal, like they had like every Friday, like we had a game every Saturday, and every Friday after training, when we'll be showering in the locker room, the coach will come out and he'll put the list out and the roster will come out, you know? So if you were on the list, you were not playing Saturday, you know? So like at that age, like you experience that, like it's different, you know? It's different. Like here, kids are playing academy. They don't have lists like popping out and like everyone plays, you know? Like,
Exactly. And then you said you were there from not like U11 to U15.
yeah.
You're obviously, your dad's Brazilian, you knew how to speak Portuguese. But I want to say, going into South America, maybe it's different in Brazil, I don't know. But going into South America, coming from the United States, they see you as an American, or no? Did you ever feel like you had to gain the respect from your teammates from, maybe U11 to U15 during that time? How long did it take for you to finally feel comfortable in that environment, or anything that you can remember?
So I don't it really didn't take me that long to adapt, because I already spoke the language well, you know. And when I was on trial with guys that made a team, so like I knew them from there, you know. So it was easier to like to be part of the team, you know.
Yeah, because I feel like, I mean, as a kid, I want to say at that age, 10 years old, it's a little easier to make friends, right? I'm not saying there's not competition, but it's definitely a little bit easier to make friends, because you're at the end of the day, you're still a kid. And I feel like that's something like special, Right, you speak so nonchalant about it, like, oh yeah, I just, it wasn't that hard. I just made friends, whatever. But I feel like sometimes other people see it differently, where they're like so scared to go into a new environment. I'm not saying you weren't afraid, right? It's obviously new, but you're kind of like, I'm just going to play football, go to school, play football, go to school, right? You see it so simple. And I mean, I feel like later on in your life, you start to develop that kind of clarity, right? As a kid, again, you're just playing football, going to school. I want to say when you were hitting that teenage year, right? Your last year at Santos, 15 years old. What happened then? You played your last year, and then where did you go after that?
So I was actually, it was U15, but I think I was 14 at the time. Yeah, I was four, like, yeah, like 13, 14 at the time. And I remember that it was a 97 year. So, like, in Brazil, they play like, oh, like 1 year 98s you're going to play, the other year 97s you're going to play. And then, like, sometimes some 98s will be able to play the 97s, and some 99s will play with 98s, you know? Not everyone will play. And they told me, like, Santos was like, you were not going to play this year. So I was like, okay, like, and I ended up coming back to the US to see my dad and my friends, because I haven't seen them in like 3 years. So I didn't go back to see my friends. And I ended up seeing my friends, my family, and I ended up staying, and I ended up playing for actually doing a camp with New York Soccer Club. I did a summer camp with them, and then they told me, like, why don't you just stay? We can help you, like, get to the national team if that's your goal. And, like, I ended up staying, and I ended up getting called to the national team U15. Then I got called to residency, and I was there U17 in residency for like 2 years, and then from there I just went pro.
So let's track back a little bit, 'cause that your life moved fast at 15. So they told you at Santos, we're not going to need you. And then was that something that kind of hit you in a way that you're like, you wanted to stay at Santos, and then the only option you had was go back to New York? How did you feel?
Obviously it hit me in a way, because, like, at the time I'm still young. I was like 13, 14 at the time, and, like, when the club tells you that, like, obviously you're gonna, like, feel it, you know? Like,
Well, you thought like maybe you're not good enough, or
but, like, having my mom, having my family there, going back to like to the United States, and like being there, like, healing up, like, it was the best thing for me, you know? It was the best thing, having my dad there with me constantly, my family together. It was the best thing, and it helped me a lot.
Yeah, I think, a lot of times when if we look at it from an athlete perspective, right? When one door gets shut, it doesn't mean that everything's done, right? There's obviously going to be plenty of other doors that may be opening for you. You just can't see it right away. So the fact that you had the support of your family, which is fantastic, you were able to take advantage of that and then move forward. So now you go back to New York Soccer Club. They see Pierre da Silva, that tricky, dangerous left foot. They're like, yeah, we need this guy. U15, U16. You end up staying there. And when you got to New York, were you even thinking about national team at that point? Or was it when they put it into your head that you're like, oh, wait, this is actually something that could be a realistic goal for me?
So like, after, like, I remember after like 5 months playing for New York Soccer Club, they used to call it, I don't know if they still do this now, but they every month they'll get like three players of each team around the area, and they'll have like a national team coach come and run a session. So every month they'll have that, and that every time was a different coach, you know?
So just to scout players.
So, like, after like every month they'll have a report, and like the best players that perform during the month, they'll come and have a session with the national team scout or the coach, you know? And I remember I got called to one of those, and I was like, they were telling me, yo, this is like the access code to like they get national team sees you, you know? And I was like, okay. And I got called to three of those, and after the third one, they told me like, yeah, you're getting called to the national team and like
That's
in
huge.
Cali, you're going to U15, like to the StubHub Center. So I was like, okay. And that's when I first got the call up, and I was like, I think 15.
And when you first got that call up, of course you're excited. You're buzzing. But did you realize at the time like how huge of an accomplishment that was? Did you look at it like that? Or were you just like, all right, I got cut up to the national team. Great. Look at it as a one-time thing. Or did you
Nah,
like,
I knew that was big because I'm representing my country.
yeah,
I'm representing
of
like
course.
out of millions of people, like they chose me to represent my, like the country, you know? So I knew it was a big part of my career.
So I feel like if you look back at it, right, getting the no from Santos, going to New York Soccer Club, getting the yes from the U.S. national team. So it just goes back to one door shuts, another door opens in the
Yep.
right place at the right time. That's a huge step. You fly out to the StubHub Center, show up to your first training session. How was that experience for you? What's
It
going
was
through your
amazing.
mind?
Oh, it was amazing. It was like,
Like
I think it was
that
my
flight
first time, I
over.
think. It was my first time, I think, flying alone, I think.
Were you
Alone, like,
nervous? Were you nervous?
yeah, I was texting my mom, like, where do I go? She was like, you have to go. You have to see like where baggage claim is. You have to follow the signs. And actually on the way back of that trip, Christian Pulisic was going to PA, to Pennsylvania, and I think his gate was near mine. And I told him like, you have to like help me out to my gate because I don't know how to fly. And he was used to it because they had the U14 camps before, you know. So I got called into U15. So he was already used to flying. So he was like, he showed me how to get there.
In that camp, the U15 camp, you played with some of the guys that are playing now, yeah? Were they in
Yeah.
that camp with you?
A couple of them are, yeah, for sure.
And how was that first training session for you? Like personally, and football wise, and then just mentally, how did you deal with it? How long were you there?
I was there for a week, max a week and a half, but I mean, it was good. It was different. It was different intensity. It was a different level. You know, you were playing with the best players in the country.
What would you say was the biggest difference that stood out to you besides intensity? Would you say was the sharpness of the passing, the dribbling, the touches? Would you say it was the level of concentration from everybody?
I mean, I'll say everything, even the pa from the passing through to even off the pitch, like we were taking nice baths, you know, they were giving us like good meals, like they were telling us not to eat certain things, you know, like
And
it was different.
you had never experienced anything like that before. Or not to that
Not
extent.
to that extent, but as Santos, they will give us food before every training and after every training. Yeah.
So would you say like I feel like, you know, at that point, right, you're 15, 16, you're starting to learn the importance of eating the right foods, taking care of your body the correct way. And you're doing this at 15, 16, right? Even younger at Santos, 13,
Younger,
12, 14.
yeah. In Santos, we used to have the I even at U11, my first year there, we every Monday was fitness at the beach. No matter rain, sun, rain, it was fitness at the beach every Monday. No cleats, straight runners.
Damn, at 11 years old, that's crazy. No,
Yeah.
but that's good. I just want to point out that you learned like a routine from like 11 years old, 12, 13, 14, all the way to 15, 16, and obviously till now. But you learned it at such an early age that you started to realize like that this is normal. This is how a footballer should live, right? And I want to point out that a lot of times with the footballers that I work with today, they're a little late to that routine. You know what I mean? It's I think it's important that you went through the whole system. You got used to a routine, and till this day, it's still the same thing. That's amazing. That's amazing. What were you thinking after training camp? You come back to New York. You thinking you're gonna get another call up? What are the steps to getting another call up? Like, what did you get from that whole week of training?
I mean, I remember that the next trip was a Italy trip, I think. No. Yeah, I think it was an Italy trip. No, actually, no. There was another call up for a Cali trip, and then after it was an Italy trip. But like, I remember the first time I got called up, like after that week, I was like, I have to. When I come back to my club, I have to keep playing well because I want to keep getting called up, you know. So I was like, and I was like, I had a pretty good week, so hopefully I get the call up. And I got the call up again, and I was like, and I remember when they told us the second time I got called up, they're like, the next trip is we're going to Italy for a tournament. And that's when I was like, oh, this has to be a good week, you know. Because I want to make the trip. This is the week that matters. And I ended up making that trip. So that's when it started. And then after that trip, it was residency. So I got called up to residency. And then from there, it was just step by step.
At what point at around that age, you were 16, I want to say, 15, 16?
Yeah.
At
I
what
was fi
point?
like it was I was like, yeah, 14, 15.
So my question is, at what point did you realize that, like, okay, this is a real deal. This is serious. This is something that I actually right now can take this a little bit more serious and make this my actual profession. Because as you know, there's obviously a lot of kids all over the world that get called up to U15, U16, U18, U20 national team, but then they don't play football no more. So
Yeah.
you and I mean that's unfortunate. Like, you know, the football world is unfair. Things happen, injuries, different routes, whatever. But for you, at what age did you realize that, like, this is it? Like, because you said at 4 years old you wanted to be a professional soccer player, right?
Yeah.
But then there's another moment in your life where you're a little bit more developed with the way you think, and you're like, okay, I can actually be a professional soccer player now. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? At what age would you say that happened? First call up, second call up?
So I signed my first contract when I was 17, 16, 17. I mean, it was for Orlando City B. It was I had a choice to go to college or go pro, and I decided my dream since I was 4 years old was to go pro. So I decided to go pro to follow my dreams.
Okay,
So I
so
was 17 years old.
at 17, you signed that first contract.
Yeah.
How was it? What changed for you during that time? So you're going from
From
a player pursuing a professional contract to finally signing a professional contract. What clicked in your brain? Is it like now the hard work starts? Or
I
like
mean,
how?
now it's, as I say, welcome to the show, you know. Now it's where it begins, you know.
I'll
Yeah.
say it's time to get stuck in now.
It's time to grind, yeah.
Yeah, because I feel like at a young age, you know, you're playing, you're having fun, right? You're obviously still a teenager, you're a kid, but when you get a professional contract and you're kind of like, you know, training with men now, you're kind of getting a feel for how it works. And then once you're
Yeah.
finally in, it's a completely different world. How
Yeah.
did you deal with that transition?
Oh, I was taking naps after training sessions. It was really intense. It was a change of pace, you know, like more physical guys, you know, like it's different.
What would you say was the best thing that happened for you for signing a professional contract, and the worst thing? like the hardest thing to adjust to? Meaning like the best thing, meaning like, oh, I got all this free gear. I don't know. I got to meet like players that I saw on TV. I got to play against them. Or and then the worst
Not
thing.
the best feeling of signing the professional contract was like seeing my family happy, my dad, because his dream was to see me become a professional soccer player, because he never, no one supported him to make that dream come true. So he was my support, my family, my mom, my sister, everyone were happy for me. So like seeing them happy was the best thing for me.
So it's like kind of getting that weight off the shoulders, like you finally fucking did it. We got it, right? All that hard work paid off. All those years of going through this adversity and these moments where you're away from your dad, you're away from family, you're away from friends. Like, this is why I did it, right? And what would you say was the hardest thing to adjust to?
The hardest as after becoming a pro,
Yeah. If there even was something that was hard for you.
I mean, obviously it's the injuries that is part of the game, but I mean, I would say the tempo and stuff, the intensity, like, 'cause I was coming from like young, like academy to like the pro level, it's pretty intense, you know?
Yeah, of course. At
Training every
residency,
day.
you got seen by Orlando City, or how did that pan out? How did you get that contract to Orlando?
So, my aunt lives in Orlando, and I used to just go there like when re we had off in residency, like during the summer, because it's like a high school, you know, IMG is a high school, so we had summer off. So when we had summer off, I would just go to Orlando to her house, and like my agent at the time would hook it up with Orlando U23s. But Orlando at the time was USL. They were in the USL. They weren't MLS. So I was training with the PDL team, the 23s, the PDL team, and I was in residency. So I was like 15. And that's when they saw me, and then they were like, "Oh, we're gonna sign you to our academy and stuff." So I was like, "Okay." So I signed with their academy, and then after the World Cup with the US and Chile, I went straight to Orlando to OCB.
That's right. You played the under 20 World Cup?
17.
Under 17 World Cup in Chile. What year was that?
That was 2015, I think.
And how was that experience playing a World Cup, man? Because a lot of people don't get
Oh,
that opportunity,
it was
man.
crazy. It was crazy. It was like
I can only imagine the
it was a different experience. Like even like from the start, when we got there, being escorted and stuff, it was different. It was different.
Yeah, I can only imagine the feeling, right? Just you're getting called up to training camp, training camp, training camp. Next thing you know, you're representing the US national team at a World Cup. Who did you play with? Who was on that team with you?
The World Cup team,
Yeah.
Christian was there, Brandon Vasquez for
Okay.
Cincinnati, Luca De La Torre plays for the US national team, Haji Wright plays for national team,
So you guys had a
Yeah,
really good,
we had a good team. We had a good team.
yeah, you
We
guys
had Tyler Adams.
had a
We
really
had a
good
good team.
squad.
Yeah, we had a good
Had
team.
a really good squad. And how was that whole experience for you, like personally? Like, how would you say your game went in the games that you played? You felt that you
Mean,
performed?
it was tough, you know. Like
Yeah.
we didn't it didn't go how we planned it to go, you know. It was a tough World Cup, but it was just part. It was part of the game. It was we got Chile in Chile,
Oh yeah,
too.
that's tough.
Yeah, and we had to win that game to go through, and we were winning 1-0, and then we ended up losing 4-1. Then we ended up losing We ended up leaving to that game.
Yeah, that must have been a great experience, though, for sure. I think
Oh, yeah.
that's a really unique experience.
Yeah.
World Cup, baby. But so let's go back to Orlando City, right? You sign your contract, you're getting used to the tempo, you're training with these guys. And I know at Orlando at that time, Kaká just signed.
Yeah.
How was it for you personally to share a locker room with a legend like Kaká? What stood out to you from him?
It was crazy. Like I never thought I would be in the same locker room as Kaká every day. I never would have thought that. Just seeing him every day, the type of person he is, so humble, it was great. It was great having him there. Like having him there, like as me as a rookie too, you know, because I'll have him like giving me advice and stuff, you know, like, oh, do this, so you should like shoot it this way, you know, like stuff like that. It was great having him there.
So what's one advice that he told you that you could tell us without giving away too many secrets
Nah,
you would remember?
I always remember when one time like he overlapped me and he was telling me like I didn't pass him the ball, but he was like, next time, like when I overlap, like you see the 2v1, you have to slide it through, you know? So I was like, okay.
That's awesome. Did you When you made your debut with Orlando City, walking out on the field, how was that feeling? What did you think about when you're about to get when you're about to make your debut? What's going through your mind?
I really don't remember, but I remember that I was probably super nervous because I still get nervous now, like for every game. Like I still get the little butterflies, but then I'm good. When the whistle blows, everything goes away.
Pre-game jitters.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you manage that, by the way? Is there a routine that you have on game day to kind of manage that pregame jitters? Do you visualize yourself playing a certain way? Do you talk to yourself a certain way? What's your routine like?
When I feel those things, I just usually take deep breaths. That's it. Just deep breaths, and that's it. Just chill. Try not to think about it too much. Once the whistle blows, I already know what I have to do, you know?
It's just about going through the motions
Yeah.
and the movements now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you do this every single day. You train every day. You know exactly what you need to do. But I feel like sometimes what happens when you get into like these matches, it's like the self-talk, that voice that you hear in your head, that's telling you like, all right, hey, don't mess up. Remember, you got to do this. But if you make it like little things like that, sometimes it could eat you alive, right? I feel like that's where the pregame jitters comes in. Like you're afraid to make mistakes, or you're afraid you're not going to perform of how you visualize it.
Yeah.
But I think personally, like for example, for me and how I've spoken to other players, like I think two things need to happen in those situations, right? You need to visualize yourself doing the best that you can, and then if you're nervous, just accepting that you're nervous. It's normal. It's part of the feelings that go through your mind for any athlete, not
Yeah.
just football. And not even for athletes, but for anybody that has like something big going on, especially performing in
It's
front of
normal. I feel that's
thousands of
normal to be
people, right?
nervous.
Yeah, it's completely normal.
Fine.
Exactly. So now here in Miami, here in Miami, you're in your second year. I know unfortunately you came down with a little knee injury.
Yeah.
What went through your mind when that happened, man?
So it's my second time in the same knee. So, I mean, I knew that this process wouldn't be as bad as the other one, because the other one was 6, 7 months out, and this one's like 6 to 8 weeks out. And I just knew I just had once I was off the crutches, I just had to put the work in, you know. And I still am, so just have to trust the process.
So I love that about you, man. I love that you, obviously it sucks, right? Nobody wants to go through injuries, but I love how, I don't know, the way you speak about it, it's like you oversee You look past the problem because you know it's already done, and you're just like, okay, straight work, straight road from here, and it's just time to put in the work. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
I feel like when you keep it that simple, like you can achieve so much. It's not like, okay, we got to do this, but we got to do that, but right? You're not putting any obstacles in your way. You're just like, this is the end goal. This is where we're going, and I'm just gonna race
Yeah.
to it and finish it. You know what I mean?
That's it. Yeah.
And no, I love that about you. I think that's one of the characteristics of a footballer, that if they have that, they can get to the answer so much quicker, which is huge, right? So now right now you're going through the recovery process. Mentality is just like, time to put in the work in. That's it.
Yeah, that's it.
How do you keep yourself motivated? Do you have a routine for that? Do you tell yourself something?
I try. So before I was going in after, whenever everyone was done training, so I'll go in after when that, to do rehab. And now, like I asked them if I can go in a little bit earlier because I want to be like in the team, like just in the locker room. So I feel that like just being there, just being like in the locker room with my gear on, like even if I'm done working, if I'm still there, like watching them train, it kind of like motivates me every day, like to keep going,
So you like being around that energy, that team energy, right? Because you want to be back in there with the guys, right? Yeah, no, I completely understand. It's a good way to stay positive, to stay on your toes, let's say, right? Because your feet, I feel like you feed off that energy as well. Right, the
Yeah, of
guys are having
course.
fun, the guys are working, you see the guys working, you see the guys getting stuck in, you're like, hey, I need to be there, I'm gonna be there soon.
Exactly.
So you're repetitively telling yourself that in your mind.
Like you can't wait, you're itching to get back. Yeah.
Exactly. So every rep that you're putting in when you're doing a the gym workout,
It's
you're like,
painful, but I'm like, it's gonna help me in the future. So,
exactly.
yeah.
So you're looking ahead. Okay, that's great. So you're sitting there, you're watching your guys train every day, and it's motivating you to get better, right? So once you step on that field again, P, what do you hope to achieve or to get out of it from all the hard work that you've been putting in this whole time? Like, for example, I know, speaking to you, you've always said that you want to pack on a little bit of muscle. So when you step on that field in a month or 2 or 3 months, do you want to feel like you've gotten stronger a little bit, or what would you say?
Yeah, I wanna feel like
You want to be flying.
I wanna be stronger than I was before.
Yeah.
That's the
So
mentality that I want.
you're in that
I wanna have.
constantly improving mentality.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that. Well, Pete, we're gonna end the podcast here. But before we finish, I just want to say, thanks so much for your time, for joining us. I know there's a lot of players out there that look up to you, and they really are gonna learn a lot from your story, right? But before we end, I always ask all my players this, everybody that's been on the podcast, 5 questions. All right. Just
All right.
answer whatever comes to your mind. Just answer it. This is all about you, man. No right or wrong answer. All right. All right. You ready? First question for you. What advice would you give teenage Pierre da Silva? A 13-year-old, 14-year-old Pierre da Silva. If you could speak to him right now, what would you tell him?
Like an advice like to myself or like to like a young kid.
To yourself. You living the life that you're living right now and knowing everything that you went through, if you could go back in time and talk to that 13-year-old Pierre, what would you tell
I don't know.
him? Makes you think, I know, man.
Yeah. I really don't know.
You wouldn't tell him, like, hey, keep working hard. Put your head down and work. What would you tell them?
Oh, yeah. back. Just keep your head down and keep working, because good things are gonna come for sure. Always come. Just keep working. Good things will come.
Boom. Second
Simple.
question. What are the top three rules that you use for in your everyday life? Meaning, for example, the top three rules for me is surround yourself with honest, loving people, right? Always give my 100% effort every day. You get what I'm saying? And then just be true and honest to myself, always, right? I don't have to change for anybody. I don't need to put on this fake persona for anybody. I'm going to be myself
Yeah.
100% of the time. So what would you say are your top three
That's
things?
one. That's one of them.
Always staying true to yourself.
Yeah. The other one you said too, the second one. To surround yourself around good people, around positive energy. It's always good.
Yeah.
Always try to always be positive, always have that positive mindset. If you surround yourself around positive people,
It's gonna rub off on you, huh?
yes,
Yeah.
yes.
Okay. My third question for you. So far from everything that you've experienced in your life, what would you say is the biggest lesson that you've learned?
Biggest lesson, I mean, I will say obviously take care of your body, you know, because you only have a couple years to play, you know, so you have to take care of your body as much as you can, start at as a young age to not suffer the consequences later on, you know. So,
I think that's a fantastic answer,
yeah.
because if we're speaking about, soccer, football, whatever, your body's
Your
your
body's your temple, so you perform with your body, so you have to take care of it every day.
exactly. And would you agree that your body includes the physical and the mental side?
Yes.
Everything.
Yes.
So you got to take
You
care of
have to
yourself
be good. You have
mentally.
to be good up here.
Yeah.
You have to be, that's the most important, good up here. Because then if you're good up here, then you can do the rest yourself.
I agree. Fourth question. Where do you see yourself in the next 5 years?
Next 5 years. How old will I be? Four,
You're 23 now, right?
24.
24, 29. You'll be 29.
Jugando para mi selección, ¿no? Dios quiera. Who knows?
I like
Yeah. I
that.
mean, it's always it's a goal. It's a dream.
Of course. Of course. You've done it from a young age. There's no reason it should stop now. Never
Yeah.
stop dreaming. I always tell everybody, even if you're 30, 40, 50, never stop dreaming. There's always so many things to accomplish in this lifetime. And then last question, P. Are you happy?
I'm happy, yeah, of course I'm happy.
All right, that's it,
Oh,
man.
always.
That's it, man. A lot of people go through this life not happy, man. You got to be happy always.
You got to.
Every decision that you make in your everyday life should be the one that leads to happiness. That's how I see it.
Of course. I agree.
You took the route of becoming a footballer. You wake up every day to play football, which is something that you love and enjoy. That's going to lead to happiness. You know what I mean? So that's huge. Well, PA, that brings us to the end of our podcast. Thank you so much for joining me here. And for everybody listening, this is Pierre da Silva, number 98, plays currently with Miami FC. We might see him con la selección one of these days. But
Okay.
again, this is the Winner's Circle podcast from Grande Sports Training, where we dive deep into the mindsets of professional soccer players. Until the next one, guys, thank you.